Good morning. And I too want to echo Tom's words of earlier. Happy Mother's Day. Mothers, we are so blessed in so many ways that you are in our lives. And so today, as I share this morning's message, I hope that it does two things. First, it points us to our Creator as we continue this series on Imago Dei. But secondly, that it points to the truth of the godly women in our lives that we have been so blessed to have a part of, that are truly a gift from God. And so they may sound like simple words, but they're spoken with great heart and great love. The Lord bless you. And thank you for loving us when at times we've been hard to love. I hope Mom hears some of this as she occasionally checks in from Florida, but if she doesn't, that's my heart for my mom, but it's my heart for you as well. So as we begin to step into this morning's message, would you take just a moment and join me as we approach the throne of our loving Father? Let's pray. Abba, Father, thank you for all of the blessings that you give us. They're unnumberable, if we're honest. Some of them we take for granted. And Father, I think at times maybe our mothers is one of those blessings. But today we gather to honor them, to love them, and just to be present in their lives, because they are always present in ours, just as you are. A gift that you have given them, that gift of you that resides in them, that gift of prayer, that gift of presence. Father, we lift up, as we have for the last few months, the people in Europe, and especially in Ukraine and Russia, and the turmoil that is going on there this day. The tragic loss of life. And we pray, Father, for the leaders of this world. Father, that they would turn their hearts back to you, that they would seek you and seek your knowledge and your wisdom, that they might lead in truth and in grace. We lift up the young men and women of our armed forces, Father, as they have pledge their very lives, if necessary, to defend our freedoms and our right to be here each Sunday, to lift up your name in praise and in worship. So, Father, protect them. Be with their families as they are separated by thousands of miles at times. We just ask that they would know your peace and that they would know your presence. Father, we pray for those among us that are struggling, whether it be with physical health or emotional or mental health or financial concerns or relationships or whatever manner of struggle that they're in. May they feel your presence, and would you touch them and Bring healing in a way that is right and in accordance with your will and in accordance with your way. Father, we too, those that have gathered here, are carrying many burdens. And we seek rest. So, Father, in these next few moments, may we rest in your presence. May we rest in your word. And help us to lay our burdens down, not to pick them up again. Just now, Father, I would ask that you would come, you would set me aside, your servant, and that you would speak forth a message that speaks to your children. You've called us here to share with us. And we've responded to that call, Father, but we long to hear from you. So help us to block the world out for the next few moments and just be intimately in tune with you. Allow your spirit to take the words of this message and to minister to each and every heart that's in this place today. We ask all of this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. So we do continue along that. I know it's Mother's Day, and I hope this message does both things. We continue along on that message of the Imago Dei, the image of God, and our call to reflect that image to a lost and dying world. And what has really sparked my thoughts and my heart to this direction was the words of A.W. Tozer in his book, The Knowledge of the Holies. I want to share just a little bit of that quote I shared with you last week, again this morning, as we open up. A.J. Tozer says this: "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." And the reason that is because of who we are and whose we are. Remember, we ended last week's sermon with the verse in Genesis that speaks to this very truth, that we are the very image of our Creator God. In Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we find these words: "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" God has created us in his image. He has placed us in authority and care over his creation. And verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image." And get to the last part of this. It's very significant, especially today. "In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." We're all created in the image of our God. And so this morning we continue with our message series, Imago Dei, and the significance of this truth in our lives and what we should be doing with it. And so it's my prayer that this message serves those two purposes. First, to give us a clear picture of our God and who desires for us to truly know him. And secondly, to thank him for the vital role that many of our mothers, our stepmothers, our foster moms, our adopted moms, our semi-adopted moms. By that, what I mean is I've got a lot of kids, or Cindy and I have a lot of kids that call us mom and dad, that we've had an impact in our lives. But those women in your lives who have played a vital role in introducing you to the image of God to this Imago Dei. And last week, we just simply focused on the image of God, and we reflected on that text that I just shared. And I've shared this next thought with you in other Mother Day's messages. However, I want you to know it's my heart. It's what I truly to be truth. I'm convinced of it. And I believe it speaks so directly to answering this question that confronts us today. Are we reflecting and do we know the image of our God? Where do we first begin to see or even to grasp on just the basis or the most elementary levels of how we perceive or how we recognize or think of God? I believe with all my heart that our first picture, our first image of God is found in the arms of godly mothers. I was reading an article a little while ago by Gary Scott on George Washington. It's an article that's online at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, a website for Grace City or Grove City College. I want to share with you just a few comments from that article that speaks to who George Washington was. It began by saying, "What made George Washington the most remarkable man of an extraordinary generation? He wasn't an intellectual giant like Benjamin Franklin or John Adams or Thomas Jefferson or James Madison. Compared with most other founders, he was not well educated. He attended school only about 5 years. And like many of them, he disliked abstract philosophical discussions. Washington was intelligent, well-informed, and astute, but he was neither a polished writer nor a spellbinding speaker. Where did he gain that intelligence, that idea of being well-informed and astute?" He went on to say, "While praising Washington's military and political record, many scholars contend that his genius lies principally in his character, who he is inside. The only other American president who has been so highly extolled for his character is Abraham Lincoln. Since Washington, all presidents have been ultimately measured not by the size of their electoral victories, though they may be on that night, or the success of their legislative programs, and we hear them talk about their legacies, but ultimately, every president is seen and judged based on their moral character. Washington's character helped sustain his troops through the travails of a Revolutionary War, convinced delegates to the Constitutional Convention to assign significant powers to the presidency, secure the ratification of the Constitution, and enable the new republic to survive a hostile world. Although scholars criticize Washington's personal ethics, sexual behavior, vanity, and ownership of slaves, his moral character, especially his refusal to yield to temptation, set him apart from most others. Eulogists and early biographers imputed many virtues to Washington. They praised his wisdom, his judgment, his outstanding courage on the battlefield, and dignity. Congress elected him the first chief executive, principally because its members trusted his moral character. Washington is believed by many to have been a man of faith. Raised as an Anglican, it's said that he and Martha attended services about once or twice a month at two churches near Mount Vernon, and that during the Revolutionary War, Washington would regularly attend services held by military chaplains or attend local civilian congregations. Many, and certainly not all, of the characteristics we see in the man who came to be known as the father of our country, while not perfect, reflect the character of his God. But where did he first begin to see and follow these characteristics? Listen to how he would have answered that question. It's a direct quote from George Washington. He said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. All my success, I attribute," he says, "to my mother." And he first mentions his moral character. If we are to be successful in carrying out our mission, the mission to which we have been called by Jesus Christ himself, stated in many places throughout Scripture, but specifically in one passage of Scripture, we must first grow in our knowledge of who we are. We are children of God, created in his image. Our mission is to daily and in every way reflect and live out that image in our lives. Acts 1:8-9 is that commission that we're given. We read it in other places, but I love the way it is stated here. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses." That Greek word Luke uses there is martis. It is the word from which we derive our modern-day word martyr. It is most often translated with that word witness, but maybe a better one, it's certainly a correct one, is the word testimony. Think of it. You will be my testimony in your families. Starting right there in Jerusalem, in your families, you will be that living testimony of me. And then you'll expand out a little bit to the region around it, to your extended family, to your community. And you'll be that living testimony. A testimony is defined as a formal, written, or spoken statement, especially one given in a court of law. And yet there is a secondary one that I think speaks to the heart of this morning's message. That one that calls us to be image bearers of Yahweh, of Almighty God. A testimony, it says, is evidence or proof provided by the existence or appearance of something. By the existence or appearance. Notice it doesn't say by word. It says by sight. What are people seeing in our lives? Are they seeing a full picture of who God is? That God who spans a knowledge far beyond we can fully understand, and yet he desires for us to know him? Or are they seeing that image we've comprised of God and that we've encapsulated into a more easily understandable and controllable box that we spoke of last week? As young children, our first testimony of God most often is found in our mothers. Well, I know this may not be true for some. I do believe that in order for all of us to be here, we've had to be touched by some godly woman who exemplified the image of Christ. Whether we're new to the faith or we've been faithful for years, somewhere in our lives we have been touched by the love of a mother in our family. Whether it was a foster mother, as I've said, or that adopting mother, or maybe it was a grandmotherly figure within the church. Each of them, godly women in their own right, women of great valor. So I want to take just a few moments this morning to honor these women of valor, these women who have spoken into our lives, who have set that example, who have been those image bearers of Yahweh to us, that have brought us closer to Him. And I want to do that by looking at an Old Testament passage of Scripture that's often referred to as the virtuous woman. It's found in Proverbs chapter 31. And I want to just begin by sharing with you verse 10. I'm going to try to do that from here, but I don't have my readers, and this is kind of small print, so I'm going to have to go back to my notes. An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. An excellent wife who can find. The NIV translates the Hebrew word here that is read excellent as a woman of noble character. And the New Living Translation has it as a virtuous and a capable wife. All are sound translations of the Hebrew word that is there, but they are a little empty of the full meaning. You see, the Hebrew phrase there is Isha Ha'el. Isha Ha'el is often the most common word, or Isha is the most common word used in the Old Testament for that of woman or wife. It's that next word, Ha'el, that speaks the deeper truth about who this woman is that Solomon is writing about here in Proverbs. Ha'el actually speaks of one's power, both physically and internally. It speaks of a strength and a confidence in even the most difficult of situations. It speaks of the qualities that makes something desirable, valuable, or useful. When I think about that description and that is often used of men by translating it valor, it gives me a greater picture of these godly women. And it is certainly a picture of godly mothers who stand in the gap for their families, who give everything and sacrifice much. And all because they love unconditionally. So I believe the reading of this passage would be more a woman of valor who can find. They're there, but they're not easy to find, and we need to recognize how precious they are. They're more precious than jewels, Solomon says. They are to be exalted and valued and honored. But what is it that makes a woman, any woman, specifically this woman, a woman of valor and a confident testimony of the Imago Dei? Well, I want to read the bulk of this text, verses 11 through 29. And as I do, I want you to listen closely and see if you don't begin to catch a picture of God. Verse 11, The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of his life. I think of those words Jeremiah would speak to Israel, that I desire to do good for you and not harm. She sells wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She provides for her family. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. See, it's not just her family, but it's others that she cares for. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands and plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hand to the needy. She is afraid of snow for her, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments with and sells them, and she delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of idleness is of kindness is on her tongue. I told you I'm having trouble. Of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. I think one of the first images a woman of valor reflects for us as far as the image of God is that she has a heart for her family and for others. The woman of valor is selfless, taking to heart the words of her Lord and Savior. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Mothers, godly mothers, do exactly that. Their last concern is for self. Their first concern is for their husband and their children. And even in this passage, Solomon says, it's for the poor and it's for the needy. Before she ever concerns herself, she's willing to allow herself to be slain on the cross of her life in order to provide for others, in order to love for others. Each of us that have had a mother that loved in that way have been truly blessed by God. It's also a reflection of her trust and her belief in God the Father and in her son and in his son Jesus, as she reflects that selfless love that he himself showed for each of us as he went to a cross to give his life for us. Mary Thomas was a single mom of 9 children living in Chicago's rough West Side neighborhood, and she was willing to give her life if necessary to keep her children on the straight and narrow. 7 of Mary's 9 kids were boys. Young men constantly stretching the boundaries of their tired mother's authority and patience. One day in May of 1996, Mary opened the front door to find 25 street thugs on her stoop. The men, members of the notorious Vice Lords gang, had come to recruit her 7 sons. Mary, hearing their intentions, dropped her gaze, said, "Oh, okay, hold on just a second," and she closed the door. When the door opened again, the first thing the Vice Lord saw was the barrel of a loaded shotgun. "There's only one gang around here," she said, "and that's the Thomas gang." And with that same fortitude, Mary Thomas ushered each of her 9 gang members, her 9 children, to their high school graduations and beyond. Can you imagine a single mom staring down 25 thugs for her children? Oh, and just in case you're not sure who Mary Thomas is, you may have heard of her youngest son. His name was Isaiah. Played for Indiana. Later for the Detroit Pistons. Now a pro basketball Hall of Famer. But she loved unconditionally her children. She defended them with her very life. And that is exactly what our Father has done for us. Secondly, a woman of valor is creative and resourceful. She reflects that creative image of God. Remember, God created all of us, everything, out of absolutely nothing. I think of this, and I certainly cannot help but think of my mom. As we were growing up, we weren't rich, as most of the rest of you probably weren't either. We lived from paycheck to paycheck. We didn't have a lot of things. We raised rabbits for food. We scraped, and Mom made most of our clothes. I remember my senior year. Mom has 4 boys. We have an exchange student. We have a high school dance. And my mom spends hours sewing 5 3-piece suits. She was creative. You know why I know she was creative? She didn't use a pattern, which blows my mind. And yet every stitch was stitched with love. Later in life, she made for each one of us sons, daughter-in-laws, grandchildren, and I think great-grandchildren. I won't swear to it. Blankets that she sewed by hand. But Mom was creative not only in that, she was creative in meals. There's a meal I simply still love today that most of you have never heard of because it was created by my mom. And she called it bean burger hash. She had a few potatoes, and we had some ground beef, and in the cabinet she had a can of Brooks chili mix. She boiled the potatoes, she browned the hamburger, and then she stirred the chili mix into all of that. And that was our meal. But she did what she had to. To care and love her family. She gave all that she had. She sacrificed many things so that her 4 boys could have a few things. It reminds me of Jesus also speaking of the widow and the mite. You remember the treasury box? Jesus is watching, and all these rich people go by, and they put in a little bit, but this woman comes in, and she puts in her last 2 mites. She sacrifices everything. to honor her faith and her love in Yahweh. What a message from a woman of valor to a people who needed to see the image of God. I also thought of an old country song. I want to share a few words with you. You'll recognize it as I read down through it, so I'm not going to tell you just yet who the artist was. The words go like this. Back through the years, I go wandering once again. Back to the seasons of my youth. I recall a box of rags that someone gave us and how my mama put the rags to use. Sorry, my mom just came to my mind. They were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, sewing every piece with love. She made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore. And then she said, "Perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness." And I just couldn't wait to wear it. And Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors, my mama made for me. Now, for those of you that don't know, that is an old Dolly Parton song. Oh, but what a message about a mother who did all she could to love and provide for her family. Finally, a woman of valor serves others sacrificially. Sleep often comes in small little respites for mothers. They tend to burn the late night oil, unable to do many things until the kids are put to bed for the night. And so she goes on little sleep as she watches over her family. Words that remind me of those spoken by the psalmist, again, giving us a picture of our God, of Yahweh. The psalmist writes, "He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps." As parents, we never stop worrying or caring about our children, no matter how old they get. And few mothers can count the number of hours of sleep they have sacrificed up caring for those precious gifts, those gifts from God. Sitting up all hours of the night, not leaving that bedside of their child who is ill until the fever breaks and they're sure that the child is on the mend. It's those things in our lives that we are willing to sacrifice that speaks of what is of the greatest importance in our lives. In 2004, a painting of Anne Marie Robertson's, better known as Grandma Moses, was brought to the Antique Roadshow for an appraisal. Before the Civil War, Robertson did not take up painting until late in her life. Her primitive style eventually became extremely popular, and her work commanded a high price. The man who brought the painting to be evaluated had lived nearby, and his mother was a friend of Grandma Moses. He said she was just a wonderful friend of the family, and she would let my mother buy these paintings, which she thought had relatively little value. I guess my mother did too. She probably bought 8 or 10 paintings in all, and my guess would be for perhaps under $10 each. The painting that was bought for around $10 was appraised as being worth $60,000. In her early days of painting, Grandma Moses didn't think of her works as being very valuable, so she parted with them for next to nothing. How often do we give up that which is priceless for a little temporary pleasure or advantage? How often do we abandon that which matters most for that which matters least? The best way to determine what matters the most to someone is not to hear what they say, but to see what they do, what they give up in order to keep that precious thing for themselves. The things we pursue and give our lives to are the things that we truly value the most. And are the things that we are chasing today things that reflect women of valor, godly women? Are they things that reflect the image of God? Or are they things that reflect us? Wise people will seek wisdom even at great expenses because they understand how important it is to successful living. When we value what God values, only then are we on the path to true wisdom. Such are mothers, women of valor. And as such, they are to be praised and to be honored before our Father in heaven as they continue to reflect Him in our lives. And Solomon closes reminding us of that very truth, that these are women who have had such an impact on our lives that we should praise and honor them. Verses 30 and 31 of Proverbs 30:31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Our mothers are worthy of our praise today, folks. And they're worthy of it for so many reasons, but none greater than this. That they have been that image bearer of God in our lives, that we may come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are called to be God's image bearer, created in His image. When we come to know Jesus Christ, we're told in Scripture that we are a new creation. The old is gone. That marred image of God should no longer exist in us, but the true image of God should be what we are reflecting out. In our godly mothers, I believe we begin to see a little bit of that. So how are we stacking up? But remember, that new creation begins with a step of faith towards Jesus Christ. So if you haven't made that step of faith, then you're still carrying that old image. And we're called to be that living testimony of the living Christ. Be sure today that you honor your godly mothers, even those that aren't with us any longer. We can honor them in prayer before the throne of God. I pray this message has been a blessing. Will you join me now for a word of prayer? Abba, Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for these words. But Father, most importantly, we come this morning to thank you for our mothers who have been that living testimony of you into our lives, that they have been bearing the image of God so that we might bear the image of God more clearly. Father, where we are failing to do that, would you point those areas in our lives out that we can come to you and we can deal with them so that we might be a bright, shining light in a dark and painful world. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.